Hello, and thank you for joining me today. My name is Sasha Goldstein. I'm the CTO of Cell Group and a Microsoft C# MVP, and I'm going to be talking to you today about JavaScript on the cloud, or to be more specific, how Node.js meets Windows Azure, and what ways you have to run Node.js applications on Windows Azure websites, cloud services, virtual machines, and how you can access various Azure assets from your Node.js applications. So let's get started with what Node is. Node is a lightweight JavaScript server that runs on the server and is supported by Windows Azure in various configurations. And the reason that I've got turtles on the way down here is that now you have JavaScript all the way down. You have JavaScript from the client in the browser all the way to the server using Node. And it's essentially the same JavaScript, although you have a very rich ecosystem of modules for Node, which really make it worthwhile to develop server applications using Node. Now, I personally started in C and C++, and I've written quite a bunch of servers on Unix and Windows using C and C++, and then moved to .NET and developed quite a few servers using C#, Workflow, WCF, and other managed frameworks. But I fell in love with Node about a year and a half ago, and I've been using it since for several side projects and also more decent applications. And so I wanted to tell you today about what kinds of apps you can build using Node and how you can scale them and put them on Azure, or at least utilize some of the services that Azure has to offer. So Microsoft today, for me at least, is a completely different company than for what I remember like 5 years ago. So you can run a Node.js app today on an Ubuntu virtual machine on Windows Azure that uses a variety of open source modules that weren't developed by Microsoft. You don't have to use SQL Azure, you don't have to use .NET, you don't have to use any Microsoft development environment, but you can still integrate that Node app with a variety of Microsoft offerings, including, for instance, Windows 8 using mobile services. And this tweet here about Scott Guthrie from Microsoft using a Mac, talking about Linux and how they accept pull requests on GitHub is really the way I see Microsoft today, and Azure is the incarnation of being open and flexible and solid and giving you a way to run a variety of frameworks, use your favorite language. In this case, it's going to be JavaScript, but you could also run Python, PHP, and a variety of other languages on Azure services. So what's Node? As I said, it's JavaScript on the server, and it's using the Google V8 runtime for JavaScript. This is not the same runtime you'd find in browsers a few years ago. This is a runtime for high-performance JavaScript applications on the server, which can be used to implement heavy web services, web applications, data processing, pretty much every kind of server application you could imagine. And V8 ships with a high-speed JavaScript just-in-time compiler, a JIT, which takes JavaScript code and it doesn't just interpret it at runtime, it compiles it to a native representation, to assembly language essentially, and then profiles your application's execution and tunes the specific parts, the specific hotspots that were identified during runtime. And there's also a generational garbage collector in V8, and that's again something very new for JavaScript. Generational GC is something Java and the C# used to have, but now JavaScript on the server enjoys a generational garbage collector as well. The other part of Node is the variety of modules that you have. You have built-in modules for HTTP clients and servers, for TCP and UDP, for connecting to various services. You have file system access to the native file system on the system on which your Node application is running. You have database bindings for virtually every database in existence, such as NoSQL databases like MongoDB, SQL Server on the Microsoft side, Oracle, MySQL, Postgres, virtually every database out there has a driver and a module for Node.js. And you also have a very nice MVC framework called Express, which I'll also be using in my demos today, which makes it very easy to author web applications on the one hand that use the MVC architecture, and web services on the other hand that are really don't show any UI, don't generate any HTML, and do heavy processing with a RESTful kind of communication. And another great thing about Node is that most of it is open source and usually on GitHub, so you can contribute to modules, you can contribute to Node itself. Why would you use Node, except for the things I've just told you, compared to a C# server, a C++ server? Well, first of all, Node today is kind of what Rails, Ruby on Rails, used to be a few years ago. It's just the hip thing to do. So you find there's many answers on Stack Overflow, many startups are using Node, many large companies are embracing Node, including Microsoft. And I had a talk today about Windows Azure mobile services, and mobile services are built using Node. So essentially what I'm showing you now is how mobile services could have been implemented on Azure. You also have companies like LinkedIn, Yahoo, several large corporations using Node and embracing Node and contributing back to Node. For instance, Microsoft has worked closely with the Node developers to build a very high performance Node port on Windows, which is distributed in binary form. So you don't have to compile a bunch of native extensions to get Node running on your Windows machine. And in Azure, at least in Azure websites, Node is running natively on Windows Server 2008 and 2012 in the future. And that, again, is an example of integration between Microsoft and the Node community. Another advantage of Node is the easy asynchrony and concurrency. So on the one hand, all the APIs, pretty much every API, is asynchronous. So it's really hard to block your requests, to block your server processing, by simply issuing a file system or a networking call that takes longer than usual. So everything is asynchronous, and you're not blocking any further processing by issuing any synchronous work. On the other hand, there's no threads in Node. Although there are modules that expose the native threads on the specific system you're on, and also modules for process management, so you can create multiple Node processes and scale in that way on multi-core machines, but the core model of Node is a single thread which performs your actual work, which runs your code. But since everything, nearly everything is asynchronous, and I/O is inherently asynchronous, the fact that you only have one thread doesn't hurt concurrency, doesn't hurt the scalability of your Node application. And then there's also the tiny footprint of Node. On my Mac here, the Node binary, the actual binary that I'm going to run, is 18 megs. And on Windows, it's 4.5 megs. That's the footprint of Node. It's a single file that you can ship from one system to another. And then all the modules you're ever going to need can be downloaded to your system using a very advanced package manager. So you don't have to traverse the web looking for installers for the various modules you need. You just create a simple file that defines exactly what your dependencies are, and then you can pull these dependencies on any machine you're on any development or production system. And Windows Azure can pull these for you as well. So you can have your Node modules pulled from the web as you deploy your application to Windows Azure websites, which is going to be the first real demo I'm going to be showing you today. But there is one little thing here. I personally have a strong distaste of JavaScript. I don't like JavaScript in the browser, and it was kind of hard for me to embrace JavaScript on the server as well. But I kind of got used to it. But if you're not, you might consider alternatives to JavaScript, which are perfectly capable of running Node as well. And one of them would be TypeScript, which essentially compiles to JavaScript, but offers a statically typed language with modules, interfaces, static checking of contracts between modules, which is much more tailored for developing big, large-scale applications. And TypeScript is a new language from Microsoft. And I'm not going to be talking about TypeScript today, but if you haven't seen it, I really recommend that you check it out. It compiles to very clean JavaScript, so you can use it with Node, you can use it in your web browser, you can use it anywhere, you can use JavaScript, but it's much cleaner development experience with much better tools. So with that said, let's take a look at the hello world in Node. And the typical example here is always an HTTP server. I don't know why, instead of just printing hello world to the console, like in C, C++, C#, Java, all the classical hello world apps, in Node, the classical hello world is an HTTP server that echoes hello world back to the client. So here's what it looks like. You first require the HTTP module, which is actually built into Node. So require means that I'm going to pull the module from wherever it is and get an object called HTTP in this case. And then this HTTP object exposes a create server function, which takes a callback. Note everything here is asynchronous. So it takes a callback that will be executed as soon as a request comes in. And that callback takes a request object and a response object. So you can obviously tailor your response to the specific request you got. In this case, I'm not actually considering the request at all. Regardless of the request, I'm going to issue a response with a 200 OK status code and a content type header, which is set to the text plain content type. And then finally, I issue a response, which is just hello world slash m. So that's an HTTP server that's fully functional, and I only have to listen on a particular port to enable this whole thing to run. And now the contents of my callback that takes a request and executes to generate a response, the contents of that function will only execute on one thread. So if I have a bunch of requests, they will be serialized in terms of this function. But the actual generation of the response, sending the response back to the client and receiving requests from clients, that happens asynchronously, concurrently across potentially a large number of threads. And again, the node infrastructure uses, on Windows at least, uses I/O completion ports, which are an extremely efficient mechanism for managing callbacks from a variety of I/O operations. And in this case, there's a variety of I/O operations, both for incoming requests and outgoing responses. So let's take this Hello World demo and actually run it on my local machine. I'm not going to be using Azure at all at this point. So I'm going to switch to my text editor and just type that that whole thing down. So I'm going to require HTTP, and I'm going to create a server using the create server method. And here's my callback that takes a request and generates a response. And let's just spice it up a little bit. It's going to return a slightly different content type. So the content type is going to be text HTML. And the content of the response is going to be h1 hello world with node. Right, so this is my server, and I only have to listen on a particular port right now, 8080, and save this thing. And now to run this node app, I just go to my command line, and I switch to the relevant folder, which has my app.js node application, and I run it like this, node app. And now it's running and listening on port 8080, and I can demonstrate that to you by just hitting that endpoint, hitting that URI in my browser. So here's hello world with node. And at this time, I'm going to shut down this node server, and we're going to push it to Azure very soon. But before we do that, I do want to tell you about a couple of more modules that we're going to be using throughout this talk. So one of them is Express. And as I said, Express is a very rich MVC framework, an MVC framework that you can use for developing web services or for developing actual websites, or of course a combination of the two. So when you use Express, instead of just taking requests and responses and mapping the specific URI in the request to a specific response, you use routes. So for instance here, you have a route on the Express server that takes the hello URI and generates a response that entails sending a file, a static file called hello.htm back as the response. Now, this send file method, it's actually part of Express, so you don't get that with the raw built-in HTTP module, but Express gives you a bunch of helpers like these, which make it very easy to send, for instance, static files or to render dynamic views, which is what I'm gonna be doing in my next demo. So here's the get route, and then I've also got the post route here, which accepts an HTTP post over the echo URI. And then this one generates a response that contains a part of the request. So the post body is actually deserialized to a JSON object, and I can access it like request.body.message. So if the JSON object I've got in the post body has a message property, then that's exactly what I'm going to echo back to the client using response.end. So that's Express. And again, we'll see Express later today. And finally, there's NStore, which I'm going to be using in the first demo because it's a really nice and simple way to prototype your data storage without committing to a particular database. NStore stores data in a single text file where each line of text is an actual JSON object. So it's not optimized, there's no indexes, it's just a simple single text file, which is great for proof of concepts and simple demos. And then when you require NStore, you get the NStore object back, and you can do stuff like NStore.new, and you say which database file you want. This is just a text file again. This gives you a messages object in this case. And then you have stuff like messages.save. You give an ID and a message object, and it saves that to the file for you, and you get a callback if something went wrong. And similarly, you have all and find methods on the nStore object, which can return all the objects in the store currently. This is the results array right here. Or find will additionally take a query expressed here as a simple object literal. So this will find all the messages where the user property has been set to Sasha. Now again, there are no indexes here. This is not going to be efficient. However, it's very nice for proof of concept applications. So this is nStore and Express and the built-in node modules. I will be using them all today in my demo. So let's start with pushing Node, a Node app, to Azure websites. And this is very easily supported today. All you have to do is put your code in a file called app.js, and then you can deploy using a variety of means to Azure websites. You can deploy using Git, using source control, which is what I'm going to do. You can deploy using FTP, or you could use WebDeploy from WebMatrix, for instance, which I'm going to show you at the end of the talk. Now, you can also use whatever modules you want, like Express or nStore, without having to push them to the server as well. So you don't have to deploy the entire dependency chain, especially considering that I might be developing on my Mac, but then pushing the result to Azure websites, which uses Windows Server. So I want the Windows Server machine to pull the dependencies from the web, and I can do that using a package.json file, which says exactly which dependencies I have, and then Azure websites will download these dependencies for me using the Node Package Manager, NPM. So let's take a look at how you can actually deploy a Node app to Azure websites. By the way, I haven't mentioned this, but on the website, on the web server, the Node application is executed in IIS. So it's still IIS, but there is an extension to IIS called IIS Node, which is a standalone app that's configured as a handler for requests that are coming to your website. And IIS Node will handle requests for you and run your Node application. So let's just go ahead and deploy this app.js website that I've got right here. But first, a little change. Because port 8080 is not necessarily going to be available on the actual machine I'm going to deploy to, what you have to do when deploying to Azure is use an environment variable called port. And this environment variable is going to be set when your application runs. Now, you can hit your website on port 80, like always, but internally, there's going to be some port translation going on the virtual level. So this is my app.js file, and I want to create an Azure website. And typically, you'd create an Azure website using the Azure portal. But the Azure portal is, you know, you have to open a browser, actually. And I'm going to do that later. But first, I want to show you a very nice command line tool by the Azure team called Azure. And this, by the way, is a Node application. So to install this cool thing, you just go ahead and say npm install Azure. And that will pull that Azure module from the Node repository. And there's even some nice ASCII art right here. And you've got plenty of commands for managing your Node app on Azure. And of course, for managing not just your Node app, but also other Azure assets, like storage, like virtual machines, and additional and services, cloud services. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say Azure site create git. And that's going to create in the current folder a Git repository locally, a website on Azure, a Git repository on Azure, and connect that Git repository in Azure to my Git repository here in that directory, all in one command. So watch this. I'm going to need a site name. I'm going to call it temp something. And now I'm going to get a choice of locations where I can host my Azure website. Currently, North Europe, West Europe, and West US are supported. So we're in Redmond, going with West US. And that's pretty much all I have to say. And now the website is being created. A repository has been created locally. A repository has been created in Windows Azure. These repositories have been connected by executing the git remote at Azure command. And now I can go ahead and add my app.js file. And what else do I have here? I also have this IIS node configuration file, which I might add as well, although it's not strictly necessary. And then I can go ahead and commit this thing, initial commit. And I can go ahead and push this to Azure. So that's my deployment model. And you may have seen this in other talks today. But the fact you can create the Git repository and you can create the website from the command line is really powerful for scripting, for automating your deployments. And that's it. it's taken about 10 seconds and you've got your website on Azure. And to browse to that website, I'm not going to type this into my browser. I'm going to say Azure Site Browse. And that opens my amazing website on Windows Azure. Okay, so that's all been done from the command line. And if I'm sick and tired of my website and I want to remove it, I can go ahead and say Azure Site Delete. Yes, please. And that's it. It's gone. Well, now it's gone. So I've deleted the website, deployed the website. It's all taken me less than a minute. But this is not a very interesting Node application. So I'm going to start by showing you a more interesting web application, which I'm going to be deploying to Node later. But first, I'm going to run it locally. So when I run it locally, here's what it looks like. It's a bulletin board app for the Windows Azure Conference. And later on, we're going to push this to Azure, and you can contribute your own messages as well. So for now, I'm just going to say, well, my username is Sasha, and my message is hello, Azure Conf. And I'm going to post this message. And if I refresh the page, and that's not what's, you're not going to have to refresh, I'm going to get this message right here on the screen. So I'm going to show you how I built this very simple Node app. By the way, excuse my HTML and site design skills. That's all I've got. I mean, I'm not a client front-end developer. So let's just kill this right here and take a look at some of the code. So this is the first version of our BBS app. And here's the app.js file. It's 46 lines of code, which pretty much implement all the business logic and routing required. So first of all, here are some of my requires right here. So I require Express, which is the MVC framework. I require Node UUID, which is a very tiny module that generates GUIDs for you. And I also require nstore, which is this text file for JSON object storage. And then I create a server. I configure some static paths, like a static path to my scripts and a static path to my CSS files. And then I create an nstore file called messages.db. By the way, if we just cat that file right now, you'll see the exact format nstore uses. So there's an ID for each line, and the JSON object itself with an ID, user, and text properties. So this is the initialization of my store. And now I've got two routes here, one for get of my root, and one for post to the new message URI. So whenever this get executes, I'm going to ask the nstore file to just give me all the messages straight away. So I'm going to say messages.all, and it takes a callback with an error and results array. So if there's been an error, I render an error view. And about these views, I'll come back to that shortly. If everything's been OK, then I render a different view called messages.jade. That's the view you're seeing right here in the browser. And one of its properties is dynamic. The view, of course, depends on the list of messages that I just retrieved from nstore. So I'm passing that as a parameter, and that is going to construct from that view the actual HTML that's sent back to the client. In the case of post, when you post to the new message URI, I create a new message object, which has an ID generated dynamically, user and text properties taken from the request body. So this is a post request, and I just pull the JSON properties, the user and text properties from the post body. And then I say messages.save. I just save that message into my nstore database with the ID I've just generated, the message object right here. And I've got a callback that will execute if everything was OK or not. I've got an error here that I can use to tell what exactly went wrong. And so after the save, I redirect the app back to the root. And I use this very neat thing right here. IO socket submit new message with the new message objects. And that uses a library, a module actually, for Node called socket.io. You can just go ahead and hit that URL in your browser, socket.io, and you'll find more details about this. Generally, this module enables bidirectional communication between the client and the server. So instead of just issuing requests from the client, you now have a way of pushing data to the client from the server. And that can use WebSockets if your system supports it, if your web server supports it. So it will negotiate a transfer mechanism according to what your system supports. If it doesn't support WebSockets, there's a number of other options available. One of them, which is what I've enabled right here, is long polling. So basically, the server is going to keep a request open at all times, And when the server has something to say, it's going to return a response through that request. So this is long polling because the client is just sitting there polling the server for updates. So with this simple line of code, I tell Socket.io that I want to enable just this particular transport. I don't want it to use to negotiate WebSockets even. And the reason I'm doing this is that currently, well, at least at the time of writing, Azure Websites does not support WebSockets yet. So at the time of writing, this demo would only work on Azure Websites if I use long polling and not the native WebSocket support. Now, there's only one thing left to cover here, which are these views. I mean, this render method looks a little mysterious. So Node ships, actually Express, ships with a number of view engines, and the default view engine is called Jade. And what does a Jade file look like? Well, here's my messages Jade file. So this is essentially HTML, but slightly more compact. So for instance, I've got a header right here, and a script include right here, and a table right here. And the ID for that table is messages table, and some headings. And then this is the dynamic part. So here I'm saying, take the messages property that's passed to that view as it's being rendered by the Express layer. And for each message in that list of messages, emit a new row in the messages table. So this is a classical templating engine which you can use to define a whole static page and just replace particular parts of it with dynamic data that's being rendered by the server. And the result of all this is an HTML file, of course. This is all just sent to the client, back to the client, as a single big HTML file. So this is the way this app works locally. And now we're going to push it to Windows Azure. So this time I'm going to create the website through the Azure portal. So we'll go to the Websites tab right here, and we'll say New, Website, Quick Create. We're going to call this BBS. This is still not taken. That's wonderful. West US is fine, my subscription here, and I hit Create. And now the website's being created. It takes roughly the same time as it takes to create the website from the command line. And then there is no Git repository here yet. So what I can do here is set up TFS publishing, set up Git publishing, or I can even deploy through FTP. So I can go ahead to this FTP host, input my username and my password, which I configured earlier, and then I can deploy through FTP. Also through FTP, I can get log files, which is obviously very important for any application running in the cloud. You want log files for anything that happens in IaaS, anything that happens in your app, and of course, anything that happens in between in IaaS node. So this is how you get the logs. And maybe I'll have time for this later. But for now, we're going to click set up Git publishing right here. And now Azure is creating a Git repository for me. And this page will refresh soon, as it says here. And we're going to have a Git repository ready. And now I can take, I can say I want to push my local files to Windows Azure. When I click that, it says, well, what you have to do now is init a local Git repository, add your files, commit them locally, and then add a remote repository pointing to this Git repository created by the website. So let's start by going to this folder here, running Git init, and adding all the necessary files. So that's going to be app.js, package.json, scripts, styles, and views. I'm not pushing my modules to the server. This is entirely unnecessary. And then I can go ahead and commit this. Let's call it again initial commit. And that's committed locally. Now I'm going to take this from here, git remote add Azure with the full endpoint. I'm going to paste it right here. And I'm going to push to Azure. So you've seen this before. It's not going to look like magic anymore. But there's an additional step here that wasn't there before. And that's package management on the server. So the server is now running the Node Package Manager and downloading a bunch of modules that my application depends on. So again, I didn't push this to the server. It's downloading them entirely on its own. How does it know what to download? Good question. I have a package.json file right here, which describes my app and my dependencies. So I've got here an Express dependencies, a Jade dependency, an NStore dependency, Socket.io dependency. For each of these modules, I can say which version I want or any constraints on the version I want, greater than or smaller than a particular version number. And that's how Azure knows which modules to pull. And that's successful. The site has been deployed. And I can go ahead and browse to bbsazurewebsites.net. And now you can browse there to that endpoint as well. And you're welcome to put some interesting messages in here. Please, no profanity. This is live and recorded for later. So I'm just going to say hello, Azure Conf, right here. And you'll notice this time it shows up without me having to refresh the page. And the reason is that WebSockets are not working. So my client code connects to the WebSocket endpoint on the server. And I can show you this right now. In my client-side scripts, I've got this. And it uses jQuery to run this code when the page is successfully loaded. So I say IO connect to bbsazurewebsites.net, and then I subscribe here to the new message. So whenever the server emits that event, it's going to give me a payload, which is called new message. And I simply go ahead and add a row to the table I've shown you before. And there's still nothing here. And I'm going to write another message here. No one loves me. And I'm expecting you to add something here as well, but you're not. So OK, I'm going to keep this open for 5 more seconds. There, thank you so much, Fabio. No one else. OK, that's fine. OK, going back to the slides. That was Node on Azure Websites. And that was using NStore as the underlying storage mechanism. And that's kind of lame, actually. NStore is obviously not meant for, you know, production environments when you have millions of messages potentially flowing into your app. So what I'm going to do now is replace my storage mechanism with SQL Server. So I'm just going to pull that NStore module out and push SQL Server instead. And the node driver for SQL Server is called MSNodeSQL. That's a module provided by Microsoft. And it requires the SQL Server native client. So it will only run on Windows. But of course, it will run in Azure websites, because they're run on Windows Server. And the syntax here is fairly simple. For instance, you can say SQL query, and you provide a connection string to SQL Azure, or actually to any SQL Server instance you've got. And then you pass a query right here, like select star from messages. And then your callback gets an array of objects, again, for each row with the properties corresponding to the various columns you've got in your database. So that's really easy to select, and insert is similarly simple. So I'm going to take the NStore part, tear it away, and replace that with SQL Server. But before I can do that, I have to actually create a SQL Server database in the cloud, of course. So I've done that. If we go to the Azure portal here in my Windows box, we can go to SQL databases right here. And we've got the BBSDB SQL database. And from here, if I just hit manage now, it's going to open the SQL Server management portal. And by the way, this requires direct access to particular ports, which are typically not open on the Windows Azure firewall. But it will offer to open them up for you. Alternatively, you can go ahead and say, managed allow IP addresses right here on your database. But I've done this before, and here's the database open right here. My server is called NV0M and so on, databasewindows.net, BBSDB. And in that database, I've got a few tables. I've got a message table, and I've got a channel table. These are the tables for my SQL Azure database. Let's take a look at the message table for a moment now. Here's the contents. Well, there's nothing in here. That was just cached incorrectly. So this table is actually empty. Now, here's the Node app when I replaced the NStore part with SQL Azure. So the first thing I've got here is a connection string, a SQL Azure connection string, which is a really long string with the server pointing to my SQL Azure database set to BBSDB. And there's also a username and a password right there. I've just shown you my password for a second to that database. And with that connection string, I can issue queries. So I can say stuff like SQL.query connection string, select user is user, text as text from the message table. So this is essentially the only thing I've changed. I haven't touched the views. I haven't touched the scripts. I haven't touched the styles. This is the only thing I've changed. This query here and this insert right here, which, by the way, is prone to SQL injection, which is why I'm not going to push this over to SQL Azure. This is going to stay local. And that's actually another nice demo of how Node and Azure are so flexible. I'm going to have an on-premises Node application here, which is accessing a SQL database running inside Windows Azure. And of course, I could have taken this Node app and pushed it to Azure websites or hosted it in the cloud in some other way. So I'm just going to run this Node app right here. Actually, it's already running, but I'm going to run it again. And now I can go ahead and hit localhost 8080. And that's connected to my SQL server. And now I can issue a message to myself. There's no one else that can post to this database. And if I go to the management portal right here and refresh the messages table, here's my message. This is what I've just typed and inserted into SQL Azure. So this is a demo where you use SQL Azure with an on-premise Node application. OK, then. That's really nice. How about connecting that to mobile services? Earlier today, I talked about Windows Azure Mobile Services, which also happen to rely on a SQL Azure database. And that particular case doesn't really warrant a Node service. So I could just as easily use Windows Azure Mobile Services to avoid implementing any server-side logic for accessing that SQL Azure database. And if you want to learn more about Azure Mobile Services, then again, there's my talk from earlier today that you can tune in later. It's all on Channel 9, of course. But essentially, using Windows Azure Mobile Services, you don't implement the backend. You only get the database set up for you or provided by you, but wrapped with a REST API by Windows Azure Mobile Services. So after I created the Windows Azure Mobile Services, I can connect to it from Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, iOS, and soon Android as well. And I've got my own Android SDK that you can find in my talk from earlier today. So on the client side, that's going to look very, very easy to access that SQL Azure storage. I could say mobile service get table of message. This is the messages table. Message is just a simple, plain old CLR object. And then I can say, please find all the messages where the username is Sasha, and give me these messages as a list. And then I can also go ahead and say, let's insert a new message to that mobile service, to that SQL Azure database asynchronously. So now I'm essentially going to bypass my Node app, which is running currently on premises, and use mobile services to access the very same set of data. So I've got a demo of this right here. Pardon the ugly front end. This is the app. And here's the message that's currently in the SQL Azure database. And I can post a new message right here. It's still just me from Windows 8, post message. And it's right there. And I've got a push notification showing up. That's also a part of mobile services offering. And if I go back to Internet Explorer and refresh here in the database, I'm going to see the second message appear as well. But again, the Node app, well, accidentally, it's still running, but I could close it and go back to my Windows 8 app, another message with the Node app closed, OK? And I'm going to pause this as well. And it still works, OK? So it has nothing to do with the Node app anymore. What it does have to do with is SQL Azure, Windows Azure Mobile Services. I've got a mobile service here called BBS. And inside that mobile service, I've configured the SQL Azure server to be the same server I've just used for my SQL Azure Node application. And I've got a message table right here, which I can access through the mobile services management portal. And now I can develop apps for additional platforms without having to provide the backend myself. So I can keep that Node app only for the web experience and use for any other platform, for the mobile platforms and for Windows 8, use Windows Azure Mobile Services. This is another example of the kind of integration you can have with Windows Azure. And again, the reason I think this platform is so flexible, open, and going to be very successful. So this was Windows Azure Mobile Services accessing the same SQL Azure database that I've just used in my Node application. And of course, I didn't have to go to great lengths to implement this actual mobile service. Now, the nearly final thing I wanted to show you today is running Node in an Azure virtual machine. And Azure Virtual Machines are essentially your own server in the cloud. You could push your own image configured any way you like it to Windows Azure, and then it will run there for you inside a VM. And of course, you can scale that offering of yours by creating multiple instances of that virtual machine. But instead, you could also opt in and create a virtual machine from a template. So you can go here to the Virtual Machines tab in the portal, and you can click New, and you can say Quick Create, and or you could use From Gallery. And now here you've got Windows Server 2008, Windows Server 2012, OpenLogic CentOS, SUSE, Ubuntu Server. There's a bunch of virtual machines that you can use and create a virtual machine from the gallery. Now, I have already created a virtual machine running Windows Server 2012, as well as a virtual machine running Ubuntu Server. And I'm going to run a Node application on that Ubuntu Server. But I need a reason for that. And my reason for that is that I want to use MongoDB now. I don't want to use SQL Azure anymore. Maybe it's too expensive. Maybe I don't know SQL. Maybe I just want to use a NoSQL offering like MongoDB. So I want to put my Node app on Ubuntu, on an Ubuntu virtual machine in Windows Azure. And I want to be using MongoDB instead of what we've done earlier, instead of SQL Azure. So MongoDB has a very nice wrapper for Node, a very nice module for Node called Mongoose. This is not just a thin wrapper, it's an actual ORM, an object relational mapper, that will take JavaScript objects and map them, well, not to relations, because it's not a relational database, it will map them to collections in MongoDB. So I'm just going to show you the code for this third version of the app. I see you've all been trying very hard to add messages to my BBS service. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. You guys rock. And gals. Right. So going back to my code, here's the BBS VM app right here. And again, I've kept the views the same, the scripts the same, the CSS files the same. I've just changed my database approach. So right here, I do Mongoose create connection, and I'm going to be connecting to a Mongoose database, to a Mongo database that runs on the same virtual machine as my Node application. And the database is going to be called test. And then once it's open, I'm going to create a new schema for my messages, which have my messages have three properties, an ID, a username, and the text and the text of the message, all strings, of course. And then I'm going to use the dbModel method to get back an object, which can now be used to, in a very object-oriented fashion, manage messages in that message collection. So for instance, in my get route, I can say message.find, and that will find all the objects in that collection and return an array. And from here on, it's the same thing. It's an array of objects with the particular properties I desire, and that goes to my view. Or in my new message handler, I can say new message equals a new message. So this is, again, the object-oriented approach of Mongoose. And again, I provide an ID, a username, and a text field, and I save that to the database. And again, this is asynchronous, and it will give me an error object if something went wrong. And if nothing went wrong, then again, I just emit through socket.io the new message event that the client will handle. So this is my app, and I want to push it to a Windows Azure VM. Now, I've just zipped this whole thing up and uploaded it through FTP to my Ubuntu VM. And I'm going to connect to that Ubuntu VM right now. So I'm going to SSH into it. And before I can SSH into it, I actually have to configure an endpoint so I can actually do SSH. So if we go to the portal, to the Virtual Machines tab again, then right here under my Ubuntu server, there's an Endpoints tab. And here you see that I've configured an HTTP endpoint for port 80, an HTTP endpoint for port 8080, and an SSH endpoint for port 22. Without configuring these endpoints, you can actually connect to your virtual machine. So after configuring them, I can go ahead and SSH. And it's going to ask me for my super long password. And now I'm in. This is the Ubuntu server I'm logged into. And I can take a look at what I have here right now. I've got a BBS directory. And in it, I've got my Node application. and I can run it straight away. And it's listening on port 8080, so I can go back to my browser and hit sashaubuntucloudapp.net on port 8080. And that, again, is an endpoint you can hit as well. I'm going to take it down very shortly, but for now I can go ahead and say Sasha, hello Azure Conf again using MongoDB, and that's posted and the WebSocket support is actually working. And now, on my client right here, I can, well, I'm going to background this thing for a moment. I can run the Mongo command line, and I can connect to the test database, and I can do db messages find. And currently, there's just one message in that collection. But from this command line interface, I can actually manage my MongoDB instance running inside a virtual machine, an Ubuntu virtual machine, running inside Windows Azure. And at this point, I'm going to look for my node process, and I'm going to kill it. Oh, that's the wrong process ID. 46886. Okay, now it's dead. Let's make sure it's dead. I don't want to. Yeah, okay, that's gone. But we've still got this one right here, and nothing new so far. Okay, so we've seen three node apps so far. Well, actually four, if you count the very trivial demo I've shown you in the beginning. So we've got a node app using NStore running in Windows Azure websites. We've got a node app using SQL Azure running on premises. And we've got a node app using MongoDB running in an Ubuntu virtual machine. But before we conclude, I just want to show you one more thing. And that's Web Matrix. Because so far, I haven't actually written lots of node code in front of you. But as you've seen, I didn't get any statement auto-completion, any IntelliSense, any inline documentation. And Web Matrix can offer all that. On Windows, at least, it's the one-stop shop for node development as far as I'm concerned. So you can very easily develop node applications using Web Matrix. And of course, it's free. And it's got amazing integration with the Azure portal, as well as the deployment experience into Azure. So I'm just going to show you this for a moment. So let's just go back to my Websites tab and create a new website, a brand new website, quick create. Let's call it Web Matrix Demo. That's probably already taken. Of course it is. Web Matrix Demo 1. That's always available. My region is West US, subscription and so on. Create website. And it's being created right here. And as soon as it's done, you'll notice there's a Web Matrix button right here in the bottom drawer. And if I click that, it's launching a ClickOnce app, which in turn launches Web Matrix. And you'll notice Web Matrix opens and offers to download my website. And it's creating a local copy of my files. And it's just detected that my website's empty. And now I can install a website from the application gallery, or I could install from the template gallery I've got locally. So I've got ASP.NET websites, PHP, also Python if I download the necessary dependencies, and of course Node. And I can go ahead and say I want an empty website, please. Go ahead and say next. It's installing the template. And now, right here on the left, I've got my website. And here's my server.js file. And that right here is almost the same hello world I've written at the beginning of this talk. So let's just modify it a little. Let's add an H2 right here. Maybe a blink tag. Okay, no blink tag. I'm going to save this. And now I want to deploy it to Windows Azure. Actually, I could run it locally as well to test it, but I just trust myself and I trust Web Matrix, so I'm going to push this to Azure right away. So I'm going to click Publish right here. And it's looking for changes right now. And it's detected the fact that these are the files I've added. And I can also click this checkbox here, delete files on the remote server that are not on my computer. So I'm essentially replacing the almost empty website I've got in Azure. This is the only file that's actually on Azure. I'm replacing that with all these new files right here. And I hit continue, and it's publishing. And it's published. That's it. That's the publish process. It took less than a second, really. And I didn't have to input my credentials again. Why? Because I hit that Web Matrix button inside the portal. That downloaded the publish credentials necessary to now publish my app through this Web Matrix instance. So as soon as I've got this project set up, I can deploy as many times as I want. And if I just hit that endpoint right here, Web Matrix Demo 1, azurewebsites.net, here's our hello world H2, no blink tag right there. So WebMatrix makes it really easy to manage an existing web application. So you can just pull the files, make some local edits, and it's going to push only the necessary changes, of course. And you can use Node. You can develop for Node with IntelliSense, with great module support. And of course, you can also open the WebMatrix project inside Visual Studio. So that's pretty much it for this talk. I've shown you Node in a variety of configurations using a variety of modules and, of course, a variety of Azure offerings. And now there's just one little thing that I wasn't sure I'd have time for, and I see that I have. So I want to show it to you before we conclude. And that's using Azure Table Storage. There's a very nice module for Node called Azure. And that's not the same as the Azure command line tool, right? Actually, it is the same as the Azure command line tool. So I can require Azure right here. And then I have my table storage account name and table storage account key right here. So I've essentially replaced AnStore, SQL Azure, all these frameworks. I've replaced that layer with Windows Azure Table Storage, which fits really well for my messages. They're simple, not relational, no connections between objects here. So I create a table called messages, unless it already exists. And then my get and post routes are again slightly modified. For instance, right here, I create an Azure query that will go to the messages table in Azure Storage and retrieve messages from there. And I'm going to say query entities. And again, I get back a results array. And for inserting a new entity, here it is. This is my new entity. It's just a JavaScript object. And I go ahead and insert it to the messages table. So this is as far as it goes to change your data storage model to use table storage. And if I run this locally again, I'm not going to deploy this to Azure right now. So I'm just going to run it here. And I can go ahead and hit my local host. And a new message right here, hello Azure Conf from table storage. And I'm going to hit refresh here. And just to prove to you that it's actually being pushed to Azure Storage, there's a very nice tool called Storage Explorer, which is also available as a cloud service. So I can go ahead and then query my messages table right here. And you'll see the newly added message show up in this web Storage Explorer. So now we've also seen a demo of an on-premises Node app that uses table storage as its underlying backend. And you could also do this with blob storage as well. So now this is really it. And if you're interested in all the demos I've shown you, I'm going to post them on my blog and probably tweet about it later today. And really, thank you very much for joining me today.